How's everybody doing today? I'd like to welcome y'all to sit down time with Brighton Aston. Today we're going to be discussing this Alabama Citadel game. Right now we're at about 5 minutes into the third quarter, and I want to discuss the triple option, the greatest fucking offense ever invented. The triple option was made for shitty teams to be decent. The triple option is the one thing in America that is still good today. And don't get me wrong, I love this country, but there's a lot of shit wrong with this country. But the one thing that's still right is the triple option. It is the most effective offense ever invented. You can get away with not blocking people in this offense. It's all about having a smart system, having a quarterback that knows the system. You're taking Citadel's offense, whose offensive line does not compare to Alabama's defensive line, and you are putting up more rushing yards than any SEC or FBS team has put up against them all year. Because it's genius. If one person misses an assignment, you have 12 yards at the least. And it blows my mind because Bama is missing assignments. And it proves, and I'm a Bama fan, and it proves we could not beat an NFL team. And everybody says, you know, we can hang in there with the Bills. No, right now our defense is not smart enough. Now the offense, on the other hand, that's some dogs right there. And I tell you, the dogs are the skill guys, the receivers, the running backs. They're all just dogs. They're badasses from top to bottom. You have some real dudes that are going to get some real shit done. You've got four receivers that cannot be covered in one-on-one situations. You have a tight end who is as fast as the receivers but can block like a tackle. Who do you cover him with? You can't cover him with a corner, he's too big. You can't cover him with a linebacker, he's too fast. And then you count in three running backs that four. I'm going to count Brian Robinson. He don't play a lot, but he was a four-star recruit out of Tuscaloosa. He could start anywhere in the country. So you have nine weapons right there. It doesn't matter who Bama puts at quarterback. And I'm not saying nothing against Tua. Tua is a dog, too. But there are so many weapons on that field, it is ungodly. I mean, it doesn't matter who is on the field. And now we're going to move on to the team across the state, one a little closer to Georgia, Auburn. Anybody's going to listen to this. What do you think they will increase Auburn's tuition to pay off Malzahn's buyout? How are you an offensive-minded coach averaging like 13 points a game? I don't know what it is, really. I know it's not a lot. They have the worst offense I've ever seen an Auburn team have. You've got some guys. Auburn's coaching staff is so out of it right now. They tried to redshirt Asa Martin after he'd played in five games. Like, are you high? Like, a coach needs to know how many games his players have played in. Like, I figure that's one thing you have to keep up with. And, you know, keeping up with players, how many games they've played in, I figure a five-star running back would be the one that you really want to keep up with. I believe Asa was a five-star. I saw Asa in person play. And Asa is a man. And I figure he would be my number one priority in them running backs, even if he is not starting at the moment. I would know how many times he touched the field. And my thing is, you don't know that he's played in five games, and you're the head coach. The player had to inform you that he could not be redshirted, so he loses this year. I mean, this year's gone, it's down the shitter for him. And in Auburn, I hate Auburn. I'm a Bama fan. But I feel for him right there, because you could have got four more years out of that guy at the least. You know, maybe two. If he dominates 2 years, you know, he could leave as a redshirt sophomore. How often do you see that, though? And this, like I said, this is your five-star running back. This was your pride and joy out of that last recruiting class. And you don't know how many games he's played in? Now, I can imagine if you lose count of how many games your third string third string up back was played in, or you know, something like that. But a guy that's got a chance to be a big part of your offense in the up and coming years, and you think he's only played in four games, and he's played in five, and he has to tell you, an 18-year-old kid has to inform some grown-ass man. This kid he's not a man yet. I mean, he's 18 years old. I'm 23, and I don't even know if I'm a man yet. And he has to inform a bunch of grown men that make a shit ton of money that he cannot be redshirted. And that blows my mind because, like I said, Malzahn, what are you doing? Like, how do you not know? Do you not watch film? Because, like, that's, like, y'all ever heard a story about when they sent, DeMarcus Russell. The Raiders sent him home with some blank tapes and told him to study them because they didn't think he was doing film. He came back and told him he was watching blitz packages or some bullshit like that. Malzahn it's like he pulled a DeMarcus Russell. Yeah, I watched the film from last week. I watched the whole game. No, apparently you didn't, because you didn't know your five-star running back played. And like, that's some shit that a head coach has to keep up with. Like, I don't know that, man. I feel bad for Auburn students though, because their tuition is about to go through the roof. Because the best thing for Auburn is to buy that son of a bitch out of his contract. And I hate it, because, you know, I like him being the coach at Auburn, being a Bama fan. But I like competitive football. I'm a football fan first. I used to be a football coach. And I want some competitive games. And I feel like as long as Manziel's there, As long as Malzahn's there, they're going to stay as a 7-5 team, an 8-4. You know, maybe one year they look up, he gets a good quarterback, fits his system, they'll go 10-2. I got a buddy that says Malzahn's best head coach ever, and he's a Bama fan, but he's also like 99% retarded. He should be here in a minute. We'll interview him. He's not a head coach, and this RPO shit only works with certain quarterbacks. Tua reads the RPO well. He does. I hate the RPO. I do. I really hate it. You got a dumb offensive lineman, he's about to be 10 yards downfield every time, and that son of a bitch is coming back. But Stidham is not an RPO quarterback. You know, he had Nick Marshall, who was an athlete. He was not a quarterback. He was an athlete, and he was not a smart guy. But he put the perfect offense in place for Nick Marshall. Malzahn has not put the perfect offense in place for Stidham to succeed, and I think Stidham is a good quarterback. I don't think he's not trash like he's playing. He's in the wrong system. You know, like last year, Jalen Hurts was not in the correct system. Jalen Hurts succeeded under Lane Kiffin. That's because Lane Kiffin is a quarterback's genius and will adjust to his quarterback. Dabo, or however you say his name, I hate him. He did not adjust to Jalen Hurts last year. Jalen Hurts was not meant for that pocket style play. Jalen Hurts was meant for one read plays, you know, let's run stick, you know, they're in man, throw the out route, they're zoned, throw the stick route. That's what Jalen Hurts was meant for. And he's got him in all these reads and all this, and Jalen Hurts wasn't meant for that. He's an athlete. And that's why a lot of Bama fans didn't like Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin made it to the college playoff with Blake Sims at quarterback and Jake Coker. Blake Sims was a running back taking snaps. Jake Coker was a gunslinger. Nobody knew where he was throwing it. But also in them 2 years, he did have Amari Cooper and Derrick Henry. But you know what? He got them the ball. And that's a good offensive coordinator, getting the ball to your playmakers. Last year, DeBole didn't give Hurts a chance to succeed. He didn't give him a chance to get the ball to his playmakers. You know, he's got these three read plays in, and that's not for Hurts. Hurts has got to be a quick read, you know, slant routes, sticks, things of that nature. Or you got to put him in an option situation. His first year, he succeeded. He won SEC Offensive Player of the Year as a freshman, and Bama fans just kind of forget that. But he was so effective his freshman year because he ran the ball well. He got the ball to his playmakers in simple offensive situations. Tua, on the other hand, you can put in these situations. But Tua also has more athletes on the field than Hurts had his freshman year. Like I said earlier in the podcast, this wide receivers are dogs. I mean, them are some animals. So having a good offensive coordinator is a big part of it. And Malzahn has not been a good offensive coach this year. He's not adapted to his situation. And that blows my mind because, you know, he's had some really successful offenses in the past. Which, don't get me wrong, one of them was his offensive coordinator with Cam Newton running the show. And that was just a man amongst boys right there. I mean, wasn't nothing you could do. But he succeeded. And then he succeeded with Nick Marshall. But if he doesn't have that guy that fits his offense, it's like he doesn't know how to adapt. And a big thing for coaches is learning how to adapt to your players. You know, if you've got a bunch of small linemen like Citadel does and you're a high school football coach, are you going to run the power eye? No. You're going to get up there, you're going to run the veer and the triple option, and you're going to let that thing work like Novocaine, let it take its time. And Citadel's coach has done a great job in that first half. Now, Bama's defense came out pissed off in the second half. There's no doubt about it. But my thing is he is taking what he's got. And I know he's only 4-5, whatever. But he was tied up 10-10 with the best team in the country going in the half as an FCS school because the offense he runs is like Novocaine. You give it time and it's going to work. I don't know if y'all have ever seen Remember the Titans. That's what that's off of. And it's so genius. Well, let's move on to a little fantasy football, the NFL. I know probably a lot of my viewers don't like the NFL because political views get in the way of everything today in sports. I don't know why Americans can't just like each other. It blows my mind. Like, you're allowed to have different opinions. That's what makes America a great country. And people don't like the NFL because they're different opinions. Me and my friends, we love it. We do fantasy football. My team name is We Want Bama. But in fantasy right now, Patrick Mahomes is putting on the show. That is a dog right there. Todd Gurley is probably the best running back in the league. And he's an animal. But you know the good thing about pro football, though? Is pro football is getting viewers right now because they're finally letting them have fun. Now, you still got your penalties. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I love the celebrations. It gets people excited. But the one fall from the NFL right now is the roughing the passer. But I understand where they're coming from. Your quarterbacks in the NFL are your money makers. That's who you've got to protect. I mean, how much money do you think Tom Brady has made the NFL and his 75 years he's been playing? You've got to protect him. He is a money-making machine. And they're going to do what they got to do to keep the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, all them on the field. I wish they'd take Eli off the field, but they're going to protect those franchise quarterbacks because they get butts in the seats. I watch every Tom Brady game I can. Even if I'm at work, I'm running a crane at work. I'm listening to the Tom Brady. Because, like I said, he's a money-making machine. And the NFL's a business. That's what it comes down to. You got to protect them. And while we're on the subject of the NFL and it being a business, fuck you, Le'Veon Bell. I drafted you in the first round in one of my leagues, and you just... Like, hey, I'd rather make money than let Breyer win a $40 trophy.
Well, you know what, Le'Veon? That $40 trophy is important to me. But that's fine. You don't even have a job right now. James Conner came in and put on a show, and what a feel-good story that is. What a feel-good story. You got a guy that's battled cancer. Cancer's affected my family a lot, so that is crazy. He's battled cancer, came back for his senior year at Pitt, third-round draft pick, finally sitting behind Le'Veon Bell, watching one of the best in the game work. He gets his chance, and oh my God, he shines. He did the Dak Prescott and the Tom Brady, except Le'Veon wasn't hurt. He was just trying to get more money, and that blows my mind. I calculated it. As a crane operator at a steel plant, I would have to work over 100 and something years to make what Le'Veon Bell would have made this year. I slave every day to come home and record a podcast and turn my lights on and have cable. He doesn't know that struggle, and he's complaining about 14 mil. I would never have to work again if I had 14 mil. Like, and that's why all these people talking on ESPN stuff, they're not real people. Like, I hope the people listening to this are. Like, they don't know what a struggle is. They don't know what it's like to go up to a gas pump and put your card in and hope you can get $10 in gas to make it till Friday when you get paid. And I know there's some of them that came up in the struggle, but they lose that when they get up there. They lose the struggle. And I didn't have it rough coming up. My dad worked hard. My mom went back to school when I was 10 or 11, somewhere in there, and she got her degree. So, you know, we didn't struggle. We weren't rich, but we got by and we had enough. But we never complained about what we had. You got this guy that makes $14 million to play a game. I've watched my dad work 60 straight 12s and didn't complain once because he knew he was getting overtime. This guy gets to play a game for a living. And I know he's talking about the future and all that, and he wants to stay around a while. Well, let's look at the statistics here. You're a running back. The average running back makes it 3 years in the league. Most of them not even that. You've made it almost, what's Le'Veon going on? He's on like year 5 or 6, I don't even know off the top of my head right now. If I had my laptop, you know, I'd be Googling this stuff. So he's already beat the average. And the way Le'Veon plays, he would play longer than most running backs. That whole wait till there's a whole thing he does, standing behind his offensive line. But if he gets 10 years, he should be set for life with no problems. I think this comes down to you got a spending problem, Le'Veon. You buying too many gold chains and Rolls Royces and all this. If I had your kind of money, I'd still drive that Jeep Wrangler out there. I'd sell my double wide. I'd get out of this double wide. I'd get me a house. But I could live my whole life off what you make in a year. And I know where I live, the cost of living ain't much. But by God, I love it here. I mean, I live in a small town. You know, stuff here don't cost a lot. I buy beer to drink on the weekends. I pay my bills. And I love it. He's got 14 mil. I could live somewhere expensive the rest of my life for 14 mil because I could. You pay off something and it's yours. How you make 14 mil and ain't got something paid off? So what are you doing where you have to have more than that? Is what I want to know. And my thing is you're not even working right now. So how can you complain about money when you're not doing anything to earn money at the moment? If I don't show up to work and tell them I'm gonna hold out till I get a raise, guess what Carpenter Steel is gonna do? They're gonna hire somebody for less money to work my job. What is Pittsburgh about to do? They're about to take James Conner, leave him on his rookie contract until he's done with it. And I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, he's appreciative. He loves it. And they're gonna they're going to keep him. And when he succeeds these next however many years he's got left on his contract, he's going to get a big contract. But you know why? Because he hasn't done a holdout. He hasn't done anything like that. He shows up every day and he works. See, Le'Veon can sign another contract with a different team. Normal people, you get fired, you quit your job, you stop showing up. That ruins your reputation. You're not going to get another job right off the bat like Le'Veon Bell's going to get. And so I think that's what's making me the most mad is he doesn't understand the real world struggles. He doesn't understand that you lose this job, it's going to take you more time than just calling another team to get another job. The average job takes 2 months to get from the time you apply. And I have literally just Googled that. It took me 4 months to get the job I'm at now. I had 5 interviews. I love my job. I mean, I don't necessarily like enjoy it, but my bills are paid and I got food in my belly. Well, y'all figuring out white trash I am. I got food in my belly and I got beer in the fridge. I got lights. I got heat. I got AC. I got everything I need. And I don't bitch a bit. Now, there's some days I don't want to go work. But by God, if I got paid to play football, I wouldn't bitch a single day about having to go to practice, about having to go to workouts. Because that's the same as going to work and checking your machine before you work it. His body is his machine. And he's just like, hey, I'm not gonna check my machine. I'm sure he's still working. But man, I'm one of those guys that I appreciate what I got. Because I know that there's someone out there in this world that's got it worse. And I guess Le'Veon Bell just thinks we all make Le'Veon Bell money. But that's gonna be it for the show today. I just wanted to get a little complaints out, see what y'all thought. I know I'm just a redneck from North Alabama, but I have some pretty valid opinions on stuff. I may do another one tonight, post it, get my roommate involved on it. This is something I've always wanted to do. I think I could talk to a brick wall, and sitting here talking to my phone is just something I enjoy. I like talking sports. Y'all want to hear something about politics, you text it to me. I'll have some people to interview here soon. We're going to have some fun with this. All right. Y'all have a blessed weekend. And join me next time.